Pijana Balava Giribharadhari. Gopijana Balava Giribharadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Vishnupat Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashto Tarashata Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupat Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashto Tarashata Shishimad His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Grantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishiguru and Shivaranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Somandonum, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Two Arjuna, Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text 20 through 23. Yeah, we read the first one together.
Yat imao lokapalasya putrao butva tama plutao navivashanan atmanam vijinita sudur madao. Yat imao lokapalasya putrao butva tama plutao navivashasan atmanam vijanita sudur madao. Yat imao lokapalasya putrao butva tama plutao navivashasan atmanam vijanita sudur madao.
Please chant.
Atarhatastavaratam Shyatannaivanjata puna Smritishanmat prasadena Tatrapi mat anugrahat Vasudeva shasadinyam Laptva divya saracchate Briteshar swarlokatam bujo Loba bhakti babishyata Yat because Imao, these two John demigods, Lokapalasya, of the great demigod Kuvera, Putrao, born as sons, Butwa, being so, they should not have become like that. Tamaha Plutao, so absorbed in the mode of darkness. Na, not, divashasham, without any dress, completely naked. Atmanam, their personal bodies. Bijanitaha, could understand that they were naked. Sudurmadao, because they were very much fallen due to false pride. Ataha, therefore, arahataha, they deserve stavaratam, immobility like that of a tree. Syatam, they may become, na, not, evam, in this way, yata, as, puna, again, smritihi, remembrance, syat, may continue, mat prasadena, by my mercy, tatra api, over and above that, mat anugrahat, by my special favor, vasudevasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sannidhyam, the personal association, face to face, labdhva, obtaining divya sarat sate brite, after the aspire for 100 years, by the measurement of the demigods, swarlokatam, the desire to live in the celestial world, bhujaha, again, labdha bhakti, having revived the natural condition of devotional service, bhavishyataha, will become, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. These two young men, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, are by fortune the sons of the great demigod Kuvera, but because of full prestige and madness after drinking liquor, they are so fallen that they are naked, but cannot understand that they are. Therefore, because they are living like trees, for trees are naked, but are not conscious, these two young men should receive the bodies of trees. This will be proper punishment. Nonetheless, after they become trees and until they are released, by my mercy, they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Moreover, by my special favor, after the expire of 100 years by the measurement of the demigods, they will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, face to face, and thus revive their real position as devotees. Purport. A tree has no consciousness. When cut, it feels no pain. But Narada Muni wanted the consciousness of Nalakuvara and Managriva to continue, so that even after being released from the tree, from the life of trees, they will not forget the circumstances under which they have been punished. Therefore, to bestow upon them special favor, Narada Muni arranged things in such a way that after being released, they will be able to see Krishna in Vrindavan and thus revive the dormant bhakti. Each day of the demigods in the upper planetary systems equals 6 months of our measurement. Although the demigods in the upper planetary systems are attached to material enjoyment, they are all devotees, and therefore they are called demigods. There are two kinds of persons, namely the devas and the asuras. Asuras forget their relationship with Krishna, asuram bhavan ashutaha, whereas the devas do not forget. Dvau bhutta sargolokasmi daiva asura evacha vishnu bhaktas mito daiva asuras tat viparya yaha. Padma Purana. The distinction between a pure devotee and a karma mishra devotee is this. A pure devotee does not desire anything for material enjoyment, whereas a mixed devotee becomes a devotee to become a first class enjoyer in this material world. One who is in direct touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service remains pure, uncontaminated by material desires. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. By karma mishra bhakti, one is elevated to the celestial kingdom. By jnana mishra bhakti, one is able to merge in the Brahman effulgent. And by yoga mishra bhakti, one is able to realize the omnipotency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But pure bhakti does not depend on karma, jnana, or yoga, for it simply consists of loving affairs. The liberation of the bhakta, therefore, which is called not just mukti, but bimukti, surpasses the 5 other kinds of liberation, sayujya, sarupya, salokya, sarsti, and samipya. A pure devotee always engages in pure devotional service. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Taking birth in the upper planetary system as a demigod is a chance to become a further purified devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. Narada Muni indirectly gave Manigriva and Nalakuvara the greatest opportunity by his so-called curse. Omagyana timirandasya gyanandanya surakaja chaksur umilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Desayavata Vishnu Padaya Swami. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Desayavata Vishnu Padaya Swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasatyadi Sapadini Vanchakalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo. So It's a wonderful lesson. Oh, 23 also, right? Okay, I read 23. It's a short one that completes this whole idea. Text number 23. Sri Suka Uvacha Evan Uktva Satevasir Gato Narajana Sramam Nalakuvera Manigrav Asatur Jamalar Junao. Sukadev Goswami continued, having thus spoken, the great saint Devarsi Narada returned to his ashram, known as Narayana Ashram, and Nalakuvara and Manigriva became twin Arjuna trees. Purport. Arjuna trees are still found in many forests, and their skin is used for cardiologists to prepare medicine for heart trouble. This means that even though they are trees, they are disturbed when skinned for medical science. So the situation of exalted personalities, demigods, that became fallen by being overcome by pride, the pride of the position that they achieve by their devotional service and by their piety. Srila Prabhupada explains the different type of mixed devotees, Mishra, Bhakta Mishra. So devotees who are demigods in general are considered Karma Mishra Bhaktas, that they have material desires mixed with their devotional desires. The material part is that one still have an affinity to enjoy in this material world. And therefore, by the performance of devotional service, one is obtaining a better situation in the material world that translates in the form of some happiness or some facility, sometimes wealth, and if not wealth, sometimes fame, some type of opulence naturally comes from devotional service. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that among the four classes of people that come, they all have a particular motivation. Supplitino, the pious devotees, what is it? Nama Supplitino Arjuna, what is it? Supplitino, Prabhadino. How's it go? Jana, what is Artha Jigyasar Artha Ti Jnanavan? So Artha Jigyasar. Yeah. Yes. Well, we all sort of have it in the tip of our tongue. But the idea is that these are mixed devotees, and that's in general all of us. We fall into a particular category when we come towards Krishna. There's a natural inclination for piety, and so that makes you open. And one comes towards Krishna to try to eliminate some financial or material situation, difficult material situation. So the artha is coming, looking for riches or for a better opulent situation. And the artarti is someone who is also very miserable, suffering so much a particular circumstance to alleviate the suffering. And then we have someone who is inquisitive, who is trying, and the inquisitive in general is the jnanis, and they have a particular inclination for knowledge. And then there's someone who is actually looking for the absolute truth, the transcendentalist, who is now beyond this gross material sense, sensual things, mental and sensual, and then they want liberation, transcendentalist. But it's all with a motivation. So in terms of the demigods, they have desires to be controllers, but they're devotees, and they're wonderful devotees. They're doing quite a responsible work for the administration of the universe on behalf of the personality of Godhead. They all understand who is the boss. So they never forget Krishna, they never forget Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They know. But it is explained that there's two things that can take you away from the path of devotional service, or from the position of devotional service. Two things. And those two things are bad association and the other one is offending the devotee. Offenses towards the devotee. And in general that happens because one is becoming lax in one's practice and allowing oneself to indulge in something that you know you have to control. So association, Srila Narada Muni explains the danger of material opulence, of wealth, of beauty, of position. This the natural resource of piety is that these things are there. So one very easily becomes overwhelmed or covered by this type of exposure. Because the conditioned soul is already predisposed to that type of disease. Is there. So, you know, if we are predisposed to a particular type of difficulty, or suppose, there is some genetical thing there, you know, in the family, there's a history of heart disease. you know, so it's encoded in your DNA. And if you expose yourself to certain quality of life that, you know, may appear natural, but if you do that, then that may bring, you know, immediate manifestation. Or if you were addicted to a substance, you know, like say alcohol, a particular drug, and you do your work to recuperate, and, you know, you do your 12 steps program, and then you go and you're able to overcome that difficulty, but you landed working in a liquor store. If you place yourself in that situation, you know, so now they recently, we live in Evanston, and where there was the Whole Foods before, large place. Whole Foods moved to a better place, but they left this very big store space open. And they opened a big liquor shop there. Like, it's huge. I mean, in general, you know, you can think, well, you know, it's not necessarily that the people are like buying liquor like they buying, you know, like a whole store, you know. I mean, in general, Whole Foods sells liquor too. And but it's a little session, and it looks like it's enough, you know. I mean, how much booze that people will buy, you know? But they have this whole thing. It's huge. All alcohol. So, you know, it's like the heavenly planet for alcoholic person or for these drunkards, you know? So it's somehow or other you're giving this big store to manage, you know, and you have recuperated yourself from being an alcoholic, and you're placed in that position, you know, it's a very good chance that you actually go back into, you know, just by association. So in general, you know, we want to avoid those situations that we are susceptible. So if you have a type of disease and you are susceptible to do that, to come out, you need to have a very careful sort of procedure to actually hold or make you immune. So you have to take a particular type of medicine or something, you know. It's natural. So people, there's some people we have, I know some friends who they got the AIDS virus, but they didn't die, you know. If you grew up in the 80s, you know, then you know so many people die from AIDS. And there's most of us who went through that. We have friends and people that we know that die of AIDS. But there's some people that survive AIDS in the 90s. Because they found, you know, a particular drug that sort of keeps the thing at bay. And they have to take it all the time. If they stop taking it, then finish. You know, so... So similarly, the path home back to Godhead, one has to be very careful, very mindful of these things, of, you know, not becoming proud of the opulence that one's received by devotional service. And to always maintain our position of humility and of service, of respect, and gratitude. Gratitude for what, you know, for what being the opportunity that is being given to us. And sort of remembrance of where we're coming from and what we're receiving. So we have to be very careful and take our substance, or, you know, that whatever is there to protect us, to shield us from the infection thing that we have, that we have to keep at bay. It's like a cancer that we have to keep at bay until we're able to eliminate it. You know, it's like a transcendental, what is it? The thing that they do to people with cancer, chemotherapy. So we have this chemotherapy, transcendental chemotherapy, to eliminate the cancer of this Ichadwesha or Boga Ishwariya, this thing. You have to be eliminated. So the beginning of devotional service for us is mixed devotion, Karma Mishra or Jnana Mishra. That's most of us that come to devotional service. And therefore, in the beginning stages of devotional service, the Kanishtha Adhikari, we are Prakita Bhaktas, or mixed devotees, materialistic devotees. We have this mixed materialism. And there we have to be very careful. Otherwise, we can very easily fall down from the position of devotional service. So again, the two things, offenses to the devotees and bad association, unwanted association. The Bhagavatam gives us very many examples of devotees that fell down, just like Manigriva and Nalakuvara. And we have the example of Bharat Maharaj, who was in such an exalted position. He was just, you know, in the level right behind Prema Bhava. So it's inconceivable. In that position of elevation in Krishna consciousness, he abandoned everything. He abandoned, you know, his kingdom. He was the emperor of the world. Riches, fame, power, beautiful family, you know. And he went to the forest to go back home, back to Godhead. And he became attached to a deer, which is just the circumstances out of compassion. He rescued the deer and tried to care for the deer out of compassion, a natural compassion of a soft-hearted devotee. But he became attached. And we know the story. He died and took birth as a deer. But the principle in all these stories, including this one of the two sons of Kuvera, is that Krishna never forgets the sincerity of the devotee. So, you know, we have, that is natural for anyone who is cultured and sincere, when one receives something, one is grateful. It's a natural quality of a cultured person, gratitude. So when you receive anything for anyone, then you're always grateful. But Krishna is the most perfect of all personalities, of all beings. So Krishna manifests this quality in a supreme way. So he never forgets. He never forgets if a living entity sincerely gives any type of service. And because of that, because Krishna is so kind and so grateful, so supremely grateful to anything that is done sincerely to please him, then Krishna never lets go the devotee. He will never let him go. So the example is over and over. Krishna may allow, you know, may put something in a pause, but he will bring the devotee back to his lotus feet. He will make an arrangement either directly or through his devotees to bring the devotee back to his lotus feet. And so therefore we have so many instances that and Krishna says that that any advancement, any little advancement in this path of devotional service remains eternally manifested in Krishna's connection with the devotee. He always remains eternally there. So even if the devotee fall down, eventually will come back. And in all circumstances, the devotee's fallen situation is like this so-called curse that the two Arjuna tree, the two sons of Kuvera had. Prabhupada say the so-called curse. But the idea is that you have to be sincere. So if any of us, in whatever stage of opportunity we have to do devotional service, and we had a sincere desire and a sincere heart, then Krishna won't let us go. So like in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he became a deer. A deer is an unconscious entity. You know, it's an animal. The animals have no capacity or intelligence to understand the absolute truth. They only know about four things: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending bas. That's all. And their intelligence is just focused on where to find, when, how to fulfill those things. They're forced by nature to act a certain way. The capacity to make choices is just very shrinked into just, okay, smells good? No, like that. Just that. It's based on the eating thing, the anamoya. But Krishna gave in the benediction gave Bharat Maharaj the benediction to be able to remember. Similarly to the Arjuna trees, to Managriva and Nalakuvara, they were able to remember their position. So Bharat Maharaj in his next birth, he got it. He said, I won't make the mistake again. So as Jadat Bharat, he avoided these two things: association with worldly minded people. So he basically played a fool. No one wanted to talk to him. No one wanted to reject him. So he played this part because he didn't want to associate with worldly minded people. And he was very careful not to commit any offense to any living entity, even an ant. So, because he was, you know, he won't make the same mistakes. He's passed back home back to Godhead without any hindrance. He knew that even in the bhava situation, you can actually fall down if you become a little distracted. Maya is so powerful. So he didn't want to take the risk. So he was very extreme in his, you know, trying to follow. Similarly, we hear the stories of Maharaj Chitraketu, who fell down and became the demon Vitrasura. We hear this the pastime of Ajamil was a very pakka brahmachari, who was, you know, nicely dedicated to the service of his spiritual master and the deities, the Lord. And, you know, as a nicely trained brahmana devotee, he got married very nicely to a nice devotee woman and have a nice devotee family. But because of association with a low class woman, then he abandoned everything. But Krishna didn't forget. Krishna didn't forget that sincere service that he gave. So he made the arrangement. Now, at that moment of fear that he had to experience, you know, and for that moment, for that whole period of time that he was falling, he didn't remember anything. He was overwhelmed by this materialistic, you know, horrible things. But just by him naming his son Narayana, and by in fear calling for the son's name, but when he started to call the son's name, then the remembrance came. Something, you know, came back. The connection came, and the Yamadutas came, and the Vishnudutas came and rescued him. So Krishna makes the arrangement because he never forgets. Therefore he says that my devotee will never perish. He will always be victorious. The example of Yamunacharya. The example of Yamunacharya is that he was the grandson of Natamuni, which one of the Alvars. So he was brought up by his grandfather, the great Natamuni, and he was a very qualified young devotee. amazingly qualified. So much that when he grew up in the ashram of his Guru Maharaj, he was so powerful that there was this big scholar, Kolahola, I think was his name, Kolahola, right? You know? Kolahala Pandit, yes. It was the powerful pandit of this king in South India. And he would challenge everyone and defeat everyone, you know, and take taxes. So when he came to the ashram of the spiritual master of Yamunacharya, Yamunacharya was not very happy about that, so he challenged him back. So he went to the kingdom and challenged him back. And then we know the story, the queen sort of liked the boy, very beautiful, attractive, effulgent brahmachari. And so he ended defeating soundly. I mean, the whole story is fantastic, but we wouldn't tell. But he defeated Kolahola Pandit, and the king was defeated too by the queen, so the king had to give Yamunacharya half of the kingdom. So he became a king. So he became a king of the half of that vast kingdom in South India. And he became so, just by the opulence, the riches, the power, he became overwhelmed and he forgot everything. So he became a sense gratifier. Nata Muni, you know, in general, a grandfather or a father will become very happy to see his child becoming a king, you know, a powerful personality in the world. But Nata Muni was disgusted. He said, oh, this is so terrible. He had, you know, the greatest diamond of Krishna consciousness, and now he had just dropped that out for a broken pieces of glass. So he devised this plan. He asked, actually at the time of his death, he asked his disciple, Ram Mishra, to bring him back. So Ram Mishra devised all this super clever way, you know, it took a whole year, but he was able to bring back Yamunacharya. And he became the next great acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. So Krishna doesn't forget. So sometimes as devotees, we see it many times, you know, at least, you know, when you are for some time in Krishna consciousness, you see many devotees, you know, in all levels, from very, very powerful advanced devotees to very simple devotees, that they may fall down. And fall down in general because of pride or because of some, you know, become a leader. Sometimes devotees things, you know, oh, you know, I did so many austerities, you know, and I have neglected just trying to pay attention to some of, you know, my propensities. You know, let me try this, you know, the things that are left behind. Like I remember sometimes I was asking my Guru Maharaj that, you know, sometimes I think about my music career and I feel, oh, you know, there's a little something that, you know, I left something behind that was very dear to me, and I still have that desire, you know, of making music, you know, or something like that. And you know, and I left it right in the moment that it was the right moment in which you have the energy when you are in your 20s, you know. Sometimes my wife also
her career was taking off at that time as a photographer in New York. And so, you know, maybe I should go back to that. Maybe I should, you know, so we may think like that. And then you start to investigate and invest in this and that and that, and all of a sudden you start to lose faith on this, to find, you know, the association and that is, then, you know, it affects you if one puts oneself in association with worldly-minded people. And also if somehow or other you start to lose faith on the devotees and may commit some offense, then you're out. And when you're out, you find out something very, very much, and you can ask this to most of the devotees who leave Krishna consciousness, or at least they leave the association of devotees and take the association of karmis and start to live like karmis. You cannot enjoy like karmi anymore. You finish. So at the end, internally, you're miserable. You can't, it's a spoil. And why is it spoiled? Because you have tasted already something that is superior. So you have the taste of material happiness without Krishna consciousness is, it becomes, you know, it's like taking sweet rice with sand. You can enjoy it. You know, I mean, you taste, oh, sweet rice is, you know, sand. You can, you know. So it's finished your capacity to enjoy, so you become miserable. It become a miserable experience. So similarly, in a fallen down position, it actually becomes, it's like a Narada Muni's curse. You remember, and you're trying to forget, but you cannot forget. You remember, and at one point you start to reminiscing, you know, and appreciate better what you have left behind. I have a little bit of that personal experience. I end with this, because I did left the movement at one point. I mean, I was still very young, so I just spent my, you know, 8 months as a devotee in Brooklyn Temple, and then bloop, you know, that's a term that we use, at least back then, you know, bloop. So I bloop. The idea is that you fall in the ocean, whoosh, bloop. And then the sound when you, you know, you get bloop, you know, you submerge yourself. So so I bloop. And I bloop for 2 years. I went back to my country, Venezuela. And I became so depressed. And the way I coped with depression was that I tried to indulge in sense gratification. But it was depressive. It was almost like, you know, when miserable people drink, and then in the moment of being intoxicated, they forget about the misery. But then when they become sober again, they are, you know, they're triple miserable, you know, because now they have a headache on the top of being miserable. So, like that. But there was something that I always remember. Oh, the devotees. So if I see a devotee in the street, was like a devotee, you know. So it makes you appreciate better. But the misery you have to experience. And that's what Krishna does to you. He doesn't let you go. he will bring you back. And we see that, you know, in so many of the devotees who have left the movement. And therefore, we have to be very careful. And also understand that Krishna, this is all these devotees. Devotees are very dear to Krishna, and Krishna don't forget. And therefore, if we are in the situation that we are by great fortune under the shelter of Krishna, and we come to see devotees who are having a hard time trying to, we cannot, you know, take it so, how you say, lightly, that we can point out things or say or criticize. I have to be very careful, because they are dear to Krishna. And you don't know, they come back, and they come back and manifest, you know, wonderful qualities. You said Manigriva and Nalakuvara, you know, the devotee will pray, give me the same opportunity that you give them, you know, in the, so I can get that prema bhakti too. Any comments or questions? And let's keep it short, because I actually have to go.
Hare Krishna, Subal Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of wonderful points. And beginning with, I really appreciate your humility in revealing some difficult aspects of your life, which I think is, I could speak for myself, but I think I could speak for most people, most devotees, that we're not willing to be so humble by revealing our, you know, faults. And to take some inspiration, Narada Muni, in one of his previous lives, he was known as Uparbarhana in Gandharva Loka. And he was very proud of his beauty, and he lusted after women, and he would chant the names of demigods and chant for the women in kirtan, you know, do Hare Krishna or whatever, the demigods. So then he got cursed by some sages, and then of course he became Narada Muni from this purification. And
yeah, that was another example, nice example.
Yeah, and so that reminds me of one quote. It says, the reason the rear view mirror is smaller than the windshield on your car is because what's in your past is not nearly as important as what's in your future. So I really appreciate that quote of how not to become discouraged in our faults. But anyway, you were making a point. You quoted, you were essentially talking about mixed devotees, and you quoted that verse in a Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu regarding pure devotional service. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmani anambritam anukunena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. Basically, you were saying we should be less, the basis of your class, we should be less concerned about anya abhilashita status and more concerned about uttama bhakti standards. And Narada Muni told Nalakuvana Manigriva we should be less concerned about our status and more about our standards. And one thing that came to mind is that we see that from the Gita or any spiritual teaching, and also from the teachings of Jesus, we see that the body can be seen, but the spirit soul cannot be seen. But the only reason the body is standing is because of the spirit soul. Similarly, we see that the only reason great personalities, the reason their status stands is because of their standards, their invisible standards. And also in the Bible, Jesus gave the example of a foundation of a building. The building can be seen, but the foundation on the building cannot be seen. So sometimes when politicians seem very outstanding, and then they're put in prisons, they're like, oh yes, they had a very nice status, but basically they became lacking in their standards, like you were mentioning. We become lax in our devotional service. However, we see that Narada Muni says the standards in his verse is that we should be, one shouldn't be so concerned about skinny dipping or living one's life like an animal in a nude. But however, we see that although there's something called standards in the scriptures, there's many pastimes where it appears that there's something called double standards. There's one pastime in the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Verse 5. It says that some women were bathing nude in a lake, and Shukadev Goswami walked by. He's a great Vaishnava. He was also in the nude. But we see that the standards of a Vaishnava, including Shukadev Goswami and Nardamuni, Nardamuni decides to wear saffron. Shukadev Goswami was in the nude, but they were considered both outstanding Vaishnavas who had standards. And we see that the standards is Shradavan, Shradavan Janhoi Bhati Adhikari, Uttama, Madhya, Kanishna, Shraddha Anusari. One's faith in Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that Uttama Adhikari is Shastra Yute Suni Pun Dridha Shraddha Yamra Uttama Adhikari Se Tadaye Samsara. That person was expert in logic, reasoning, in the scriptures, and who has firm faith, Dridha Shraddha, that Krishna is in control, he is considered a Uttama Bhati like Narada Muni and Shukadev Goswami. However, Shraddha cannot be seen, bhakti cannot be seen, our mentality cannot be seen. So sometimes it's hard to distinguish, because even by speaking, I could speak so many poetic words, so many scriptures, and we see in the past times, but that's not an indication of your Shraddha or your bhakti. And so sometimes in that pastime, it describes that although the women, this is kind of a joke, although the women couldn't see the standards or measuring stick of Shukadev Goswami, there was a measuring stick, an external measuring stick, and that was, forgive me for saying, he didn't get an erection when he came in front of him. So my question is that when we hear verses like this, the standard of devotional service is those who don't like to skinny dip. You're obviously a materialistic devotee, but we see people like Shukadev Goswami. So there's so many pastimes where it seems like there's standards. On the other hand, there's another standard that seems contradictory. And so what is a person to do when they were too attached to one particular standard, when they'll see from another point of view where it appears like a double standard? Because Vaishnavas are in so many categories. So what is a person to do when they're confronted with that situation? Because it may be easy to prevent ourselves from externally criticizing someone, but you don't get any benefit from internally criticizing anyone. So when we're attached to one standard, so what is a person to do in such a scenario?
Well, it's one thing that is, it takes one to know another one, you know? So, it's not about the act, but it's about the consciousness. And if someone is elevated in consciousness, they can understand the elevation or the degradation of someone else's consciousness, you know, if you have that capacity or that position. So Narada Muni cannot understand the consciousness is wrong or the consciousness is right. So it's not about necessarily the act itself, but so being naked in this case, you know. But the consciousness was degraded. And that's what it makes the whole thing, you know, very distasteful and not appropriate, especially for the place that this and the position that these persons were, you know, having. So is that? It's not the act of being naked that has been condemned, but it's the lack of decorum and their consciousness, the way that the whole thing that was behind, you know, drunken and unconscious completely. In the case of Shukadev Goswami, he was fully conscious, but he was so innocent and so pure that he didn't create any. People sense that. So the ladies in the lake were able to sense that there was the purity. So it have to be a very powerful, you know, experience to see such an effulgent, pure entity, you know, that the fact that he was naked doesn't even come into picture, you know, like that. The fact that when he was reciting the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni was sitting, listening to him. You know? So the same Narada Muni that was this, you know, unhappy about the behavior of Nalayak Mainagriva, he was there. So yeah, there is no double standard, because we're talking about consciousness that is behind. And, you know, there's obvious a big deal of difference in the consciousness. All right. So I think I'm going to stop because it's way past time. Thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.